Well, God is in the life-changing business, and that's really what we're about as a church. And you may be here today, and you may have walked in thinking, man, nothing can be different in my life. I'm just kind of stuck where I am. And what I want you to know is that through Jesus, your life can be different. Things can change. Well, I'm excited. I'm fired up about this new series that we're kicking off today. You see, there's just something in almost all of us that causes us to move towards overcomplicating things. We just tend to, in our lives, we just tend to drift toward complexity. We do it in our schedules, we do it in our finances, and we do it in all the things we buy. We just keep buying and buying stuff and accumulating all this stuff. And all it does, for the most part, is just make our lives really complex. We do it in our activities, we do it in our kids' activities, and we just, there's just this tendency in so many of us to drift toward complexity. Organizations do it, companies do it, and unfortunately, we tend to do the same thing when it comes to our spiritual lives. We overcomplicate things. You see, while God has given us all these guidelines and principles and insights for how to maximize our lives, how to experience the best life that we can, all of these can really be boiled down to just a handful of very simple but very critical things that we need to keep like a laser-like focus on. But what we tend to do is we just overcomplicate everything. And I do it. I tend to fall into this in my own spiritual life. I can get so locked in and focused on just periphery things, these little nuance things, and I'll look back on some of these things later and realize, it's a non-essential. You know, it's just not that big of a deal. You know, there are certain new insights that I'll get, and I'll get all mesmerized by this deal. It's something that I hadn't seen before or that hadn't captured my attention. I'll spend all kinds of time on it. Or, you know, there are the dicey issues in Scripture, kind of these controversial things that people said or that Jesus himself said. And it can be real intellectually stimulating for me to dive into that kind of stuff. And some of those things are significant. I mean, it's really helpful to get clarity on those things so we can align our lives with how God wants us to live our lives. But I look back at so many of those things in my life and I realize, you know, it just isn't that big of a deal. And what I've realized in my life is that over and over and over, I've got to keep pushing myself to go back to the core insights, the core truths, the core principles that are essential, that are critical, that are really the foundation and the anchor that keeps me pursuing and focused on the right things, that keeps me focused on what really matters. I just got to keep going back to those things. It's just so, so important for me to do that. It was interesting, when I was putting this series together, I was thinking about it, and in a span of like 10, 15 minutes, I came up with this list of like over 50 different issues, 50 different topics that we get, you know, all caught up in and focused on. At times we get real legalistic about a bunch of these things, and a lot of them are good things. I mean, they're things that you would say are probably important, that I might say are important and a big deal. But as I was looking at these, I realized these are a bunch of the things that we just make such a big deal about, but in and of themselves, they're really not the most important things. As good as they are and as valuable as they are, they're not the most important things. They're not it. They're not the main thing. They're not the central thing. And yet we get caught up in these things. Let me give you kind of a sampling. I'm not going to go through the whole list of 50 of these, but a sampling of a number of these. Here's one. You need to have a 15 to 30 minute quiet time or devotional time where you read the Bible and pray and journal every day. That's good. It's a very helpful thing. It's not really the main thing. You need to make sure that you have an accountability partner to encourage you and challenge you and keep you accountable for living your life for Jesus. This is good. It's just not the central thing. You need to volunteer 1 to 3 hours a week with a church. Here's another one. You need to have family devotions. Another one, you need to memorize scripture. Another one, you need to be a great spouse and love and honor and respect and support each other and have sex at least 10 times a week. No, that's not it. Okay. You need to be a great parent. You need to teach your kids about God and the Bible and sex. Sex theme here going, I don't know. But you need to go on a mission trip. You need to be a part of a service project, you know, helping the poor and hungry and the less fortunate. Another one, you need to sponsor a child in a third world country if you're not doing that. You need to be investing in relationships with people you know who are far from God to help them connect with God. Another one, you need to have extended times of solitude in your life where it's just you and God. That's good. That's important. It's just, it's not the main thing. You need to go through our M1, through our M6 classes that we're going to be offering. We have through M4 now. We're going to offer through M6. You make sure you go through those. You need to tithe. Another one, you need to listen to Christian music. Another one here, you need to follow this list of don'ts. You know, don't do this, don't do that. And depending on what group of Christians you hang around, everybody has their unique little list of don'ts. But, you know, don't drink, smoke, chew, cuss or chew, or run around with women who do. You know, the whole don't, just don't. You know, that's one of the things. Don't have sex. Don't look at pornography. Don't be materialistic. Don't be a hypocrite. You need to help alleviate extreme poverty and disease and sex trafficking. You need to care for the planet. You know, recycle. You need to buy Tom's shoes. Very important one there. You know, take care of your body. You know, work out. Get the rest you need. Eat healthier, at least healthier. You know, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, work with all your heart. Whatever your job is, work at it with all your heart as though you were working for the Lord himself. You need to deal with your bitterness, any bitterness you have, any anger or fears that you have. You need to deal with that. You need to get rid of your unhealthy habits and addictions. I mean, that's important. You need to put the lid down after you use the toilet. That one's not on the list. Yeah, some of you love it. That's not on the list. I just hear that one around my house a lot. Okay, you need to, here's another, you need to resist the devil, okay? You need to put on the full armor of God. And that's not all of them. And that's just 24 of them. And that's just a sampling of these things. I came up with these 50 of these in just a few minutes, just off the top of my head. If I had another 10, 15 minutes, I could probably come up with another 50 or 100 of those. And you know what? Most of them are really good. Most of them are actually based, or at least somewhat based, in Scripture. And some of you may even be a little bit indignant that there are some things that I listed that you think, oh man, that's a critical thing, you got to do that. And I'm not saying it's not important. A bunch of these are important. They have value. They're just not the main thing. They're just not it. They're not the central, as important as some of those things, they're not the central thing. And if we live our lives trying to juggle and work on all of these things that I just listed, and we could list a whole bunch more, we live our life trying to pursue all those things at the same time, the truth is it can just be overwhelming. And we can begin to live with a lot of guilt and a lot of shame because we're not measuring up to all of those things. We're not able to keep up with juggling all these things. And all of a sudden, the Christian life becomes all about rules and rituals and regulations and following these lists of things of that we're supposed to do. And we all do it. It doesn't matter where you are in your spiritual life. You'd be a new believer that's here, a new Christian. Maybe you've been following Jesus for years in your life. And, you know, you never even drifted far away from God. Or maybe you're here today and you would say, you know, I don't even know if I am a Christian. I don't really have a relationship with God. You're just trying to figure things out when it comes to all this. And yet, wherever you are, it's just so, so easy for us to overcomplicate things, for us to move things toward complexity. In fact, for some of you who are here, who maybe you don't have a relationship with God and you're trying to figure this out, this may even be part of what has slowed down the process for you because you're a little overwhelmed with all the different things that we talk about around here. And you go, what do I focus on when it comes to all these things? So what I want to do in this series, what we're going to be doing in the coming weeks, is we're going to be simplifying down to the basics what it means to follow Jesus. What I want to do today is I want to give you kind of an overview of where we're going, and then I'm going to hit on the single most critical and essential and foundational piece that will allow you to get it right when it comes to your spiritual life. Now, if you're in a place in your spiritual life where you're a little overwhelmed and maybe even confused by all the different things we talk about, that, man, you need to do this, you need to pursue this, you need to pursue all these different things. And if we were to sit down and we were to talk and you say, Paul, what is the single most critical and essential issue that I need to lock in on and focus on if I'm going to really live my life for God? Paul, what is that? What I would do, if we had a chance to sit down and talk together, is I would take you back to a statement that Jesus made when Jesus was asked the question, what's the most important command? Of all the commands that are in Scripture, what is the single most important command? Now, we've talked about this multiple times. And the reason that we talk about this, and we keep coming back to this issue, to Jesus' answer to that question, is because it is so important. It's foundational. It is the anchor to everything else. It's what everything else flows out of. So we've talked about this. It's kind of like if you're an athlete or you're playing some sport and you're struggling in the sport, or maybe you're even trying to learn a sport. It doesn't really matter what sport it is. It could be baseball, basketball, football, you know, whatever, golf, tennis, you know, whatever it is, you know, playing video games, picking your nose, you know, shopping, whatever, all those may not work for this. But if you're struggling in a sport, even if you're a pro in a sport, what does your coach tell you? What you need to do is you need to go back to the what? The basics. You know this. See, you need to go back to the basics. You need to work on your swing. You need to make sure that you're keeping your eye on the ball. You need to work on your footwork, on your stance. You know, you need to pay attention to these. You got to go back to the basics. And the same is true in our spiritual lives. On a regular basis, not just every blue moon, but on a regular basis, we need to go back to the basics. So what did Jesus say? When Jesus was asked, of all the commands, what is the single most significant, the single most important command of all? If you have your Bible, you can look this up, because you need to be able to go back to this statement that Jesus made. It's found in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 38. You can put a little star there. You can underline. Now, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they had really complicated this whole deal. They had come up with 613 commandments. And they would spend all kinds of time in that day. This was kind of the debate in religious circles of that day, and the culture was very religious around Jerusalem and everything. They would debate and have arguments on how to categorize all these commandments and how to prioritize them. They would spend time ranking these things. And so when they asked Jesus this question, I mean, they were bringing Jesus into like the debate of the day. And Jesus cuts through all the complexity. And this was his answer right here. We'll throw it up here on the screen as well. Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38. Jesus replied, this is it, the most important thing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and what? The greatest. This is the greatest commandment. So above everything else, we need to love God with everything that we've got. Above everything else in our life. We need to simplify it down to loving God with everything that we've got. I mean, I can't get it any simpler for you than that. I really can't. If you're getting a little overwhelmed by all the different things, what did I tackle this? Do I address this? Do I focus on this or that? Just simplify it down. And just love God. Just love God. Whatever else you're doing in your life, love God. Love God. Just make sure that you're loving God. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian in your life. On a regular basis, we need to come back to this. We need to come back to the basics. Go simple. Just love God. Love God. Love God with everything that you've got. Live your life consumed, radically, passionately, in love with God. That's what we need to do. We need to live our lives awed by God, wonderstruck, delighting in God. I mean, when we love something, I mean, what do we do? I mean, you say, a lot of say, oh, I love the Cardinals, I love this restaurant, I love this band. When you love something, you want to enjoy it. You get excited about it. When you say you love a person, you love this individual, you want to spend time with them, you want to get to know them. I mean, it doesn't even make sense to say, oh, I love this person, but you don't want to spend time with them. You won't go out of your way to get with them. You don't want to get to know them. You won't make any sacrifices to help them out, to be, no. If you love somebody, man, you're going to bend over backwards to spend time with them, to get to know them, to be around them. That's just what we do. And the same is true when it comes to God. If we truly love God, then we're going to want to spend time with him. We're going to want to get to know him. So we need to love God with everything we've got. But what does that mean, on a practical level? I mean, what does that look like? Well, it certainly involves our emotions and our feelings and our passions. But there are also some very practical manifestations to loving God. There's some tangible things that we can do. And so what I want to do today is I just want to get real simple and real practical. Talk about three things, three practical, tangible things that we can do in loving God. So number one, the first thing, if we truly love God, we're going to establish a relationship with him. If we truly love him, we're going to establish a relationship with God. And we establish a relationship with God not, and it's so important that we understand this, not based on our performance. Okay, not based on our accomplishments, not based on obeying all the commandments. I mean, it's good to obey the commandments, but that's the outflow of having a relationship with God. That's to benefit our lives to express love to God. But it's not based on that. It's not based on our attendance at church. It's not based on the fact that, my parents were Christians or I had this godly grandmother that prayed for me all the time. It's not based on that. Scripture indicates we establish a relationship with God by placing our faith in Jesus and what he did by dying on the cross for us. Scripture makes it very clear that God's gift of forgiveness, God's gift of eternal life, of a relationship with him is just that. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's like if somebody offers you a birthday gift or a Christmas gift, you don't go out and go, oh, what can I do to pay you for this? I need to earn it. I need to do a bunch of stuff. I need to accomplish. I need to perform. No. What do? You just accept a gift. And the same is true when it comes to the gift of a relationship with God, the gift of eternal life, the gift of forgiveness. All we can do is accept it, and we accept it by placing our faith in Jesus. That's the only thing we can do. It's the only kind of work or effort that we can put into it. Look at what Jesus said. We're going to throw this up on the screen here. You don't need to look it up. John 6:29. Jesus answered, the work of God is this. You don't know what kind of work you need to do to get into the good graces of God? This is it right here. To believe in the one he has sent. That's it. To believe in Jesus. And that word believe is more than just like an intellectual assent. It's more than just believing intellectually in the existence of God or believing in the existence, the historical existence of Jesus. That word right there in that verse, the word believe, in the Greek, it was the verb form of faith, of the word faith. But in English, we don't have a verb form of faith, to faith it. We don't have that. And so what it means is to place your faith, though, your trust, your confidence in something, in this case, in Jesus, and what he did for us by dying on the cross and then coming back to life. He is really not overly complicated. In fact, it is so simple that even a child can receive Jesus and establish a relationship with God through what Jesus did on their behalf. But as adults, what happens is sometimes we just overanalyze things. And sometimes the result of that is that we kind of overcomplicate things. For some of us, we have a hard time believing that it's really just a gift. And so we keep trying to earn it, to earn getting into the good graces of God. Somehow we want to kind of prove that we're good enough. But the reality is none of us are good enough. I'm not, you're not, because we've all blown it. We've all sinned. And in God's economy, sin is so, so serious. To us, it's not. But in God's economy, it is so serious that it causes separation between us and God. It's like it contaminates us so we can't come into the presence of God. And the only antidote, the only cure, the only pill, if you will, is to place our faith, our trust, our confidence in Jesus and what he did for us by dying on the cross. And we're going to talk more about this in coming weeks. But if we're going to love God, if we truly love God, then we're going to want to establish a relationship with him. But not only that, the second thing that we're going to want to do, if we truly love God, is we're going to obey, number two, we're going to obey his commands. We're going to obey his commands. Now, it's really easy to say that we love God, right? And it's easy, for the most part, to even sing about loving God. I mean, some of us get a little embarrassed about singing about it, but we can sing about loving God. And we can go through the religious rituals and traditions, you know, confirmation class, and we can wear a cross, and we can listen to Christian music and wear Christian t-shirts, and we may even memorize, you know, like big chunks, big sections of scripture, and be able to recite all the books of the Bible in sequence. But the true evidence, the fact that we love God, is obeying. Obeying what he says, obeying his principles, his guidelines for life. Look what scripture says about this. It's so important. 1 John 5, verse 3 says, this is love for God. If you've ever wondered, okay, it's easy to talk about loving God, but if you want to know what does it really mean to love God, here it spells it out for us. So this is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. The person who truly loves God obeys him. Not as a drudgery, not out of a sense of guilt or shame or obligation, you know, okay, if I have to, you know, this sense of duty. No, they want to obey God. The person who truly loves God, they yearn, they long to obey God, to obey his principles, his guidelines, his commands, because they realize that obeying God is the best way to live. They obey him not because it's going to get them into heaven, because it's not. That's not what gets us into heaven. It's not what gets us into a relationship with God. But we want to obey him out of love for God, out of gratitude for what he's done on our behalf, and because his principles, his truths, his commands, because they work. Every command that God gives us, every one of them, you may not understand fully what's behind them, but every single command, when you really get down and if you really understand it, it's there for our own good. He didn't give us commands to make us miserable or deprive us of certain things in life, and yet that's what a lot of people think, and maybe what you've grown up thinking, maybe to this day there's part of you that still holds on to that. You know, if I really follow God and live for him, my life is it's just going to be stale and boring and miserable. I'm going to live in like a straitjacket. It's going to be so confining. No. That's not it at all. The commands, the guidelines that he gives us for our own good. So we can experience the best life that there is. It's kind of like when as parents, we tell our kids that we don't want them playing out in the middle of a busy street. You know, we don't do that because we want to deprive them of the thrill and the excitement of learning how to dodge cars. You know, I don't want you to have that experience. No, you can't have fun like that. No. No, the reason that we do that is, why? We're concerned about their safety. We want them to live, you know, to experience life. When we tell our kids, don't touch the hot stove, it's not to deprive them of that thrill, of the feeling of being burned. Oh, it's just such an incredible feeling. No, we don't want them getting hurt. And the same is true with God. Every command he gives us for our own good. And it's as we follow him, as we obey him, that we are saying, God, I love you. I love you. I'm going to live my life for you. Jesus said the same basic thing in John multiple times, but in John 14, 15, look at this up here on the screen. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. So we need to obey God's commands. And as we said, it's not burdensome. It's not a drudgery. But if we're going to obey his commands, we're going to obey his principles that he's given us, we got to know what they are, right? That's why we're constantly nudging you and encouraging you and challenging you to get into God's word for yourself, to read it, to reflect on God's word for yourself. That's why we encourage you to be here for services. That's why we encourage you to plug in to a small group where you can study and you can get together with others and you can talk with them about what does this mean? How do we live this out in our day-to-day life? Not to follow these things or not to come to service or small group out of a sense of guilt or a legalistic thing or anything like that, but so that you can love and get to know God more fully in your life. That's why we talk about that. So if we really love God, if we truly love God, we're gonna want to establish a relationship with him. We're going to want to obey his commands. The third is very practical, very tangible thing that we want to do if we truly love God is love the people. Number three, love the people around us. Love the people around us. Now, Jesus said the single most important commandment was what? Okay, I think we need to start over here. The single most important command that we said is love God. Love God, okay? That's the most important thing. So you get a little confused, you get a little overwhelmed, things get a little out of whack in your spiritual life, you go, man, what do I do? Just love God. That's it. Just focus on loving God. Whatever you do, love God. That's what we need to do. And one of the ways we said that we love God is by obeying his commands. And so Jesus goes on in that very statement, he says, this is the greatest command. He goes on and says, and this is the second most important command. So if we're going to love God, we're going to obey his commands. And the second most important command is this, verse 39, Matthew 22, verse 39, where Jesus said, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as what? As yourself. Love your neighbor or the people around you as yourself. It assumes that we're going to love ourselves. So it's saying we need to love and care for ourselves, and then we need to love the people around us. Now, are you getting this? We love God by loving the people that we do life with. One of the ways that you actually love God is by loving the people in your life. By loving your spouse and loving your kids, loving the people that you work with, loving your neighbor, loving your friends. And even loving the people that sometimes are pretty difficult to love. But as we love the people in our lives, we're obeying his command, and in turn, we are not just loving those people, those individuals that we rub shoulders with, that we do life with every day, people we go to school with, but we are actually loving God. So be nice. Offer a helping hand. Slow down and listen to people. Seek to understand what's going on in their life. Encourage, affirm. Just be kind to the people in our life. That's how we love people around us. And then Jesus made this statement. We're going to throw it up here. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give you. Jesus said, love one another. Now, that's not the new part of his command. That goes all the way back to the Old Testament. This is the new part. It goes on. He says, love one another. As I have loved you, Jesus said, so you must love one another. We're to love each other the way Jesus loved people. And how did Jesus love people? I mean, he served people. Lowered himself, did menial tasks to just express his love to people. He had other people's best interests at heart at all times. He made sacrifices for people. Ultimately, the ultimate sacrifice of giving his life. That's how we're to love people. Serving people, having their best interests at heart, caring Now then, being willing to make sacrifice. And then it goes on in the next verse, verse 35, and says, by this, Jesus said, by this love that you show for other people, will all men know that you're my disciples if you love one another. People will know that we love God. People will know that we are disciples, which simply means that we are followers of Jesus. They will know that we are followers of Jesus when we love each other. And then out of the outflow of our love for God and others, in Matthew 28, right before Jesus ascends back to heaven, he says that we are to make, all of us who are Christians, we are to make disciples of others. We're to share God's message of hope. We are to multiply ourselves, or we are to replicate ourselves by helping others around us become followers of Jesus. So we're to help others become followers of Jesus, so then they in turn will turn around and they will make followers of Jesus, and then those individuals will turn around and make followers of Jesus, and on and on and on it goes. You see, if we are followers of Jesus, we need to love God, and we need to love people enough to help others become followers of Jesus. And what will attract them to Jesus? What will attract them, Jesus is saying right here, is our love for each other. And this love cycle just keeps going and going and going. It's going and going. It's like we pay forward the love that we have received from God. Now, are you getting the sequence? Are you getting the progression here? Here's how this works. I put together a diagram here. Point this out. What we need to do in our life, the most important thing, the most essential, most critical thing, mess up on everything. We need to get clarity on this. This is foundational critical. We need to love God. Now, one of the ways that we love God, that we demonstrate that love for God, is by obeying his commands. The second most important command is to love people. So if we truly love God, one of the ways we demonstrate our love for God is by loving people. So we need to love the people around us. We need to love each other. But not only do we need to love the people who are like us, or the people who have the same values that we have, but we also need to love, because of our love for God, our love for people, we need to love people who are disconnected from God, so that they in turn then can connect with God and fall in love with God. And then as those individuals fall in love with God, they're going to start loving the people in their life, including loving the disconnect people who are disconnected from God. As those people fall in love with God, they're going to help others love people. And those people who love people are going to love those who are disconnected from God. And the cycle just keeps going and going and going and going and going. That's what we're about. That's what the Christian life is about. If you are a Christian, if you are a Christ follower, that's what our life is to be about right there. So if you want to simplify things down, that's what we need to be doing. Every single one of us who are Christ followers, who are Christians. And that right there is in essence the simple vision of this church. Metro Community Church's vision is to be a church where people want to move closer to God, each other, and the disconnected. Our vision is to be a church where people are so awed by what God is doing in their life that they want, they long, they yearn to move closer to God in love and surrender and yieldedness and obedience to him. We are so awed by what God is doing in our lives that we want to move closer to each other by loving each other and doing life together and supporting each other and encouraging each other. We are so awed and moved by what God has done in us that we long, we want, we yearn to move closer to the disconnected, to build bridges with people who are far from God, to love them, to care for them, to share the fact that there is hope, that Jesus has a better life for them. So if you want to go back to the basics, just go back to our vision. Our vision as church is to be a church, a gathering of people where we want to move, we long, we yearn to move close to God, each other, and the disconnected. And just about everything that we teach, everything that we talk about around here falls into one of those big buckets. It falls under that big umbrella. And when we teach about prayer, or we teach about letting go of anxiety or letting go of our fears, and we teach about trusting God and living a life of faith, or we talk about money or materialism. When we talk about those kinds of things, we talk about maximizing our work. What we're really talking about is loving God, glorifying God, honoring God in all these different areas of our lives. It's about moving closer to God. When we teach on marriage or family, we teach about learning to really listen, caring enough to try to understand where people are coming from. Or we teach on forgiveness, or we talk about spiritual or sexual purity around here in order to avoid relational heartache and pain. What we're really talking about is moving closer to each other. We're talking about loving each other. When we teach on living for a bigger purpose, on reflecting Jesus, on using our job, whatever it is that we do, our activities, as a platform to point people towards Jesus. When we teach on how to be a friend, a true friend to people in our lives, we talk about not being judgmental about people who don't have a relationship with God. What we're talking about, what we're teaching on, is moving closer to the disconnected. We're talking about loving people in Jesus' name. But it all comes back to, it's just loving God. Instead of needlessly complicating things, what we need to do is we just need to focus, like a laser-like focus. We need to focus on loving God. Just love God. Go simple. Simplify things down. You know, just love God. Just love God. And now the outflow of loving God, you're going to love people. You begin to care more about people because that's an expression of your love for God. Not just the people who have the same values and the same beliefs and the same lifestyle as you, but you'll even love people who are far from God. See, that's what we're called to do. In the coming weeks, we're going to unpack this a little bit more to help you understand how critical and essential those things are. But it all starts with loving God. Loving God is foundational. It is the anchor to everything else. You need to love God radically, passionately. We need to be consumed with loving God, consumed with loving Jesus. We need to make that what our life is all about, is just loving God. And when we truly love God, just the natural result, the natural outflow of that, is that we're going to want to say yes to God. Yes, in whatever area. God, whatever it is that you want me to do, whatever it is that you want me to be, the answer is yes. When we get clarity on what God says in His Word, the answer is, yeah, that's what I want to do. It may not be popular. It may mean stepping out of our comfort zone. It may not be what anybody around us is doing, what our friends, our family members are doing. We may not make $1 million doing it. But the answer is yes. Of course that's what I want to do. Because I love you. And we're going to wrap up. We're going to pray here in just a moment. But think about this. What's one thing that you can do to truly love God in a tangible, practical way? What's one thing that you can do? Maybe it's for you, maybe it's establishing a relationship with God. Maybe it's saying yes to God in an area where you know what God says about that area. In fact, maybe you've been putting God off, but you know what he says. And it's time to say yes. Maybe it's making God the priority, more of a priority in your life, in your schedule, in your activities. Maybe it's really reaching out and loving someone. Being more sensitive and caring and understanding and encouraging and affirming. Maybe there's someone that you need to forgive. Maybe you need to step out of your comfort zone, your comfortable little routines, to invest more time in someone who's far from God that you're in relationship with. Their life is empty. Maybe it's being baptized to just say, God, I love you. I've been putting this off, but I really do want to follow you with my life. what we need to determine in our life, we need to come back to the basics and just simplify things down. Just go simple. Just say, God, I want to love you. I want to say yes to you. I want to live my life fully for you, consumed, my heart yearning for you. I want to know you. I want to follow you. I want to spend time with you. You don't have to live confused, overwhelmed. Oh, there's so many things I could pursue. I mean, where do I even start? There's so many things that we talk about. You don't have to live that way. Just love God. Just simplify it down. Love God. Above everything else, love God with everything you got. And we start doing that, when you get clarity on that and you start loving God, everything else will start falling into place. It really will. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you so much for making it simple for us, for making it so clear what's most important. God, forgiveness, forgive us for overcomplicating things and making things complex that you never intended to be that complicated. And maybe you're here today and what you need to do is you need to establish a relationship with God. You can do that right here today. God loves you. He cares about you. In your heart, you could pray, just breathe a prayer to God. And say, God, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to know you. God, I realize that it is just a gift, that I can't earn it. I don't deserve it. And the way that I accept it is by placing my faith and my trust in Jesus. And so today, right here, right now, you just say, God, today I am placing my faith, my trust in what Jesus did by dying on the cross for me. I receive your gift. It's just a gift, the gift of forgiveness, of eternal life and a relationship. I want to follow you. Lord, my prayer is that each of us here, on a regular basis, that we would come back to the basics, that which is essential, foundational, critical. That's loving God. God, that we would love you with everything that we've got, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. We'd live our lives consumed with you, yearning for you, with a deep, passionate, radical love for you. May that be our heartbeat. Pray this in Jesus' name.